You're listening to a podcast from The National.
The Wenger out hashtags have been replaced by Mercy Arson after the Arsenal manager announced on Friday that he'd be leaving the club at the end of the season after nearly 22 years in charge. Other big news from the world of English football, Tottenham's 10-year wait for a trophy will stretch to another season after their defeat in the FA Cup semi-final, while Chelsea's late season flourish continued by booking a final date with Manchester United. In this episode of Extra Time, we'll be looking over the situation at Arsenal, discuss where Tottenham go from here, and with Antonio Conte almost certain to leave Chelsea, whether he can sign off with a trophy. I'm the host, John Turner. Joining me today, Steve Luckings.
Hello, mate.
And Graham Cagle.
Hey, John.
Arsene Wenger, then.
Yeah, a bit of a shocker, non-shock, eh? Yeah. Shocker in terms of the timing, not shock in terms of it being the right decision. You know, I definitely think it's a case of being, you know, jumping before he was pushed. But yeah, it certainly took us all by surprise, didn't it? It's never one to break his contract. But yeah, I think he's, since the writing has been on the wall, and it would have been an ugly way to him to end his career to be pushed out at the end of the season. So yeah, it's the right decision, and I'm glad he made it on his terms.
Was he technically sacked?
No, he wasn't. But I think that was coming, weren't it? I think in the summer there was going to be an awkward elephant in the room to deal with unless he made that decision. So, but I mean, Ian Wright seems to think he was sacked, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the official reasoning will go down as Wenger's decision.
What do you think will be the overall assessment, Graham? I mean, by and large, he's done an incredible job at Arsenal, but how many years too late do you think this was? And I mean, do you think that will be his, almost how he'll be remembered, how, like, for all the incredible work he did do? However, what do you think will be the takeaway in a few years' time when people look back on Arsene's time at Arsenal?
I think ultimately people will always remember the best stuff until someone else goes a full season unbeaten. He's done something that no other manager in English football has done, and that season was remarkable.
The good outweighs the bad.
Absolutely. It's easy to say in hindsight that he stayed far too long. And by the end, he had a side that was on their day capable of winning stuff, which was why they won the FA Cup 3 times in 4 years, but were not over a season consistent enough. And it kind of became obvious, very repetitive every February, March. They'd get knocked out of the Champions League, inevitably normally by Bayern Munich, and they'd get pulled apart by a couple of the better sides, and the season would fall apart and end up third and fourth. And they've not got to a stage where they're being overtaken by, because for many years Arsenal fans dined out on being better than Tottenham Hotspur, and Tottenham have brought in many ways their own version of Arsene Wenger in Pochettino, who's revolutionised the club and made them an exciting, dynamic side, and
just without the trophies.
Yeah. And so that must have been quite painful for Arsenal to watch. But at the very least, the one thing that Wenger's was able to dine out on was getting top four football, and Tottenham have taken that away from him, because Tottenham have been the side who have moved up and into that position. And in hindsight, it's easy to say that he did stay on about 4 or 5 years too late. But I know, so we always look at Tottenham were probably the side that pushed Leicester the most in that 2015-2016 season, the season that shocked everyone. But when you think that Arsenal were the side who actually beat Leicester twice that season, only two sides did it, and Arsenal did it twice, you've got to think that was a massive missed opportunity in hindsight for him to win the title. And I think, as a sort of footballing neutral, my regret now is that he didn't go last summer after they beat Chelsea in the FA Cup. I'll beating the Premier League champions that season and a one-off at Wembley would have summed up where Arsenal were by then. And they've still got an outside chance of winning the Europa League and sort of finishing on that way, but I think it's a very sort of slim hope, personally.
We're talking about the great teams that he put together and the fact that he perhaps stayed an extra few years. We were looking at, like, the all-time Arsenal 11 from the Wenger era, and it was a really, really good team.
Yeah.
But maybe apart from Alexis Sanchez, you wouldn't really put anyone from the last few years or from the current team anywhere near that 11.
No, definitely.
Is that kind of a sign also that, he was an amazing spotter and developer of talent, and that just hasn't happened in recent years?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we all pretty much came up with the same kind of core 9-10 players. I think I said last week, the 98 double winning team, for me, other than Manchester City, have been the best Premier League winning team. And I'll put that above the Invincibles, just because they had everything. You know, on top of the beautiful football they played, they were just horrible, ugly people to play against. You know, I was reading a quote from Sam Allardyce that You know, he's built a career on physically imposing teams, but when they lined up against Arsenal in the tunnel with the likes of Keown and Campbell and Vieira, he said his players were intimidated. And I think that, you know, just speaks of the type of quality that Wenger was able to put together. You know, we all remember the attacking, flowing football, the pace of players like Henri and Overmars. But first and foremost, they were built on defence. And, you know, they were incredibly well-drilled under Wenger. And, you know, when you've got someone like Petit and Vieira sitting in front of you, it makes that job so much easier. But, yeah, I think in going back to your question, it does very much, you know, you can sense the shift that his best team in that best 11 were very much early Wenger players. And I think that all kind of ties in and feeds in with the move to the Emirates. Now, I understand why the club did that for, in terms of its finances. And Wenger was very much forced to tighten the purse strings and maybe not make the kind of extravagant signings that other teams like Chelsea and Manchester United and later Manchester City were doing. But he kept delivering Champions League football. And it just seemed like the more he balanced the books with that move to Arsenal, the less calibre, high-quality player he was able to attract until he had fallen so far behind that it wasn't no longer a level playing field. So I think, you know, I'm sure Arsenal look at this fantastic new stadium they're in and they love it, and quite rightly so. But I think that in a way kind of summed up the end of Wenger's glory years. But just on another point, you know, any other manager that had won 3 FA Cups in 4 years would be lauded, and rightly so. And Wenger shouldn't. It shouldn't be dismissed as, oh, just the FA Cup. He did win those trophies. He did keep delivering silverware. As Graham says, he could deliver the Europa League, which in turn will get them Champions League football again next season. So he can very much still go out on a high. You know, it's and as I, sorry for interrupting you, Graham, but the good far outweighs the bad of Wenger's reign.
Yeah, and do you think what I was going to say was, you think the fact that the fans' frustration is very much stemmed from the fact that they had these great teams not so long ago. He built these teams and he's been unable to build them since. You know, you can see that Man United fans may be frustrated post-Ferguson, but there are different managers that had to, with fresh challenges, fresh ideas, whether right or wrong. But this was the same man who built these great teams and then just, it seemed to not even abandon the kind of setups that he that created these teams, as you said, power and pace and strength mixed with technique and skill, and it just seems to have not been able to do that again.
I think ultimately, maybe it's a simple phrase here, but I think football caught up with him a little bit. Like, he was a sort of trendsetter head. Like, you look at the players he was able to spot early on, like your Vieiras, your Petits, your Anelkas. Like, back in the very 90s. English football was still very colloquial. It wasn't really looking that far outside. It was like, it was all still really exciting. And if your English Premier League side signed a foreigner, because it was assumed to be quite a big deal. But Wenger was kind of like ahead of the curve, for sort of both inside to change from an outside. Because I always remember Paul Merson's excited reaction to discovering he was first giving a sugar lump at one of the first things, like looking at recovery rates and stuff. Like, he brought a lot of stuff both in and off the pitch to Arsenal and put him ahead. But then the beauty of it is, someone does something and it does well, people copy and replicate it. And you've now got so many teams now have got scouting networks across the globe now that it's very, very difficult for Arsenal to get ahead in that fact. And as Steve mentioned, it's like when you look at the Arsenal squad now, how many of them, if any, would get in the 97-98 side or even the Invincible side? Possibly, say, Petr Cech would have a shot at in goal in the sort of maybe against Lehman in the Invincible side. But other than that, And they've kind of lost Sanchez. The irony is, if he'd gone last summer and they'd replaced him, and if they brought a new manager in, maybe Sanchez would still be there.
But you, just building on the whole kind of scouting network, you think that English clubs hadn't been allowed back in Europe that long after Wenger came. And you're right, that kind of whole wide, not just European, but worldwide scouting network and slightly more contemporary players that he unearthed, you know, I'm sure they were on a lot of teams' radars, but players like Cesc Fabregas, you know, from the Barcelona U team, and Gilberto Silva as well, who never gets mentioned. And, you know, ironically, he's the player that Wenger has never, ever replaced. If you compare someone like Gilberto Silva and his presence in the team, that kind of continuity after Vieira and Petit were gone, and to bring it up to modern times, he goes out and signs someone like Granit Xhaka. And they're just not comparable. Not wishing to sound unkind, but it taps into, how far his tentacles spread into European football to bring in these quality players that will go down in Premier League history as great, great players. And Granit Xhaka's probably not ever going to be in that bracket. What he did for English football, or what he brought to English football, he not only raised Arsenal's game, but he definitely raised Manchester United's game as well. The wars between him and Ferguson's teams are legendary. You listen to the players that play in that game. As I said, they were battles. They were epic World War III matches that they played in. And you think, yeah, they were. They really were. A lot of the games live long in the memories. He did so much for the English game, and it's right that he's remembered for the good things that he did.
What's next for Wenger then? There's talk about him continuing as a manager elsewhere. What would you do?
If I was Wenger, I'd keep my powder dry. I don't think there's any great rush. It's a World Cup year. I'm sure he's going to be doing a lot of punditry, casting his eye over a lot of teams. And he's not shy of letting everyone know that he's turned down plenty of offers during his Arsenal career. So I don't think he's going to be short of offers. And if we're expecting plenty of jobs, I guess the immediate one that springs to mind is the PSG job in the summer, although Thomas Tuchel is being linked with that and linked in some quarters with replacing Wenger at Arsenal. So, yeah, if I was him, listening to, David Dean, the Arsenal chairman who bought him to England in 1996 as a massive unknown. I still remember the Evening Standard's headline of Arsene who, and that came back to bite them within, 18 months. But, yeah, I don't think it's a decision he needs to rush, but David Dean said, he's so ingrained in the game that it would be a waste, A, not for it to be tapped into by a club, and B, there's no way he'll switch off from it. So I don't think it's the last we've seen of Arsene Wenger in football, but it wouldn't surprise me if he took a couple of months out. Christmas time, there's always a couple of jobs going as well, isn't there? So yeah, he'll be back, I'm sure.
So who's the next manager of Arsenal? I mean, you mentioned Thomas Tuchel there, but it looks that he's heading towards PSG. I mean, what else is out there? Brendan Rodgers has been mentioned.
Well, Brendan's ruled himself out of it. That's very true. Nicely, saying he wants something. I can't remember his exact words.
I just looked on my Twitter feed. There's a guy on a train from Glasgow to London, and Brendan Rodgers is on that train. Coincidence? But yeah, who knows? I mean,
I personally wouldn't have a problem with what I think. He got more credit than sort of negativity at Liverpool, I think, for what he did. Like, I know, John, you think he rode Luis Suarez
big time,
quite heavily on that one.
Big time.
But I still think, as Kenny Dalglish proved previously, they might not be popular with Liverpool fans, that you can be not very good with Luis Suarez in your team as well. So I think...
Maybe.
Who would you think?
I'm waiting for your Ancelotti campaign.
No, do you know what? He's been replaced now by Jupp Heynckes.
Do whatever you need to do. Give him whatever money he needs.
Whatever check he wants. But again, I don't think it'd be a terrible shout. But yeah, I think Jupp is my new favourite Bayern Munich links manager. I see Richard Jolly was espousing the credentials of Rafa Benitez, wasn't he?
And then you've seen Rafa in the last couple of days telling Mike Ashley, back me or else I'm going to look around, essentially. Yeah. And sort of, Rafa certainly deserves another go, I think, certainly a top side. Like, you almost forget about his little run at Chelsea he had when he took him over at an extremely turbulent side. And he has got a great record in English football.
Yeah.
So,
who would you back?
I don't know. Well, the problem is, you'd look at some of the big names that you would have, Arsenal fans would optimistically want, and you'd think that they're already in bigger jobs now. That Max Allegri, or however he says his name, Juve, I think he's I think he'll probably be looking at something bigger than that.
Well, if we
Diego Simeone, but he doesn't look like he'll be leaving Atletico anytime soon.
If we're thinking that the Chelsea job will come up in the summer as well, and like maybe someone like Luis Enrique.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there could potentially be two job openings there.
Antonio Conte?
Yeah, again, so
if I was Arsenal, I'd probably go.
Seems to like
make
London.
Him a call.
Yeah,
it's probably not worth it. I'd probably want to find out a little bit more from Chelsea about how much of what's gone wrong in terms of the relationship is down to him as well, because obviously we know Chelsea have got a background with managers and falling out, but I don't think he covered himself in glory at all in the Diego Costa.
No. I mean, of course, but there's no doubting the fact that he is an elite level manager and he's got a proven track record of success, and Arsenal needs someone. And I just can't see what big names there are out there unless they're going to basically take a bit of a punt on someone.
So we're definitely ruling out Alan Pardew, Mark Hughes. And
Alan Pardew.
Yeah.
I think whatever job you link him with, you could dismiss that.
Yeah, but if Alan Pardew's the answer, we're not sure what the question was.
Could it be anyone in the Premier League? Is there anyone in the Premier League?
Well, I would love someone like Sean Dyche to be given a go, considering what he's done at Burnley, but you know it's probably not going to happen.
No,
but I would love for someone like to be given a chance, because what he's done at Burnley has been absolutely sensational. And in terms of, you know, they're going to finish seventh, and the fact they're still hounding Arsenal for sixth, and the Wenger's last game could be a playoff for sixth place, is an astonishing achievement. But there is a glass ceiling for English managers in that regard, I think.
I think it'll be a young manager, so I think you can rule out almost someone like Joachim Löw at Germany after the World Cup. So I think the main contenders are, you know, someone like Luis Enrique, I think, and Tuchel would be top of their pile. You know, they brought Wenger in as a relatively young man as well, and I think that's what they'll go for again.
Patrick Vieira was briefly mentioned, wasn't he, after the announcement? Yeah, probably too early, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's too early.
Yeah.
I think he's come out and said, hasn't he, that he's happy with his role at New York City under the umbrella of Manchester City's owners. So yeah, I think the fans would love that, wouldn't they? Vieira's return, but yeah, no, I think it's probably too. He's probably too young.
Well, there's plenty to be kind of revealed over at Arsenal. Let's cross North London to Tottenham, Steve. It was a tough weekend, wasn't it?
It's been a tough few weeks, really.
Certainly no issues or uncertainty surrounding their manager, but I mean another promising season kind of threatens to kind of peter out a bit. What's your kind of assessment?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you've really nailed it with that assessment. You know, I think if we look back over the past three seasons, as Gray said, you know, we chased Leicester down but ended up finishing second to Arsenal on the final day. You know, a real tussle with Chelsea, but again, ran out of steam. And that feels very much like what has happened again this season. You know, Spurs had been on a fantastic run before the last few results, the setback at City, the draw at Brighton, which I don't mean is a terrible result, but in terms of what, you know, they were trying to do, pull away from Chelsea, the gap fourth to fifth. Was it 10 points at the start of last week? That's now halved out of the FA Cup. I think Spurs need to take a step back and assess what their goals were at the start of the campaign. Now, obviously, moving away from White Hart Lane to a temporary home of Wembley, couldn't really see how it was going to go other than it wouldn't have been the home form that Spurs had the previous season, where they went undefeated, was never going to be replicated. So I think the goals at the start of the season, while White Hart Lane was being renovated, was let's get Champions League football back to White Hart Lane for when we go back there. I think that would have been the number one priority. I think going better in the Champions League than an exit at the group stage would have been high on the agenda as well, and that did happen. They had some magical nights in the Champions League this season. And I think a trophy would have been a bonus. And, you know, it very nearly came off, fell at the semi-final stage. So I think the priority now from the end of the season, the last four games, is to cement that fourth place ahead of Chelsea, get back to White Hart Lane next season with Champions League football to you know, present to Harry Kane and Christian Eriksen and these kind of players who might be wondering whether they've gone as far as they can in that Spurs team, whether they've hit their kind of glass ceiling as far as they can go with the club. But I think the other scenario, the other side of that coin is if they didn't have that to present to these, you know, world-class players, then that would have been a massive problem for the club, for the manager, and for the fans. So I think, you know, it's a kind of regrouping situation. Let's get the results Spurs need to get to the end of the season with fourth place secured, bring Champions League football back to White Hart Lane, and then you kind of move on to next season. I think something has to be delivered in terms of a trophy and a deeper run in the Champions League. And I think that's the only way you're going to measure success at Spurs.
Is the concern down to the fact that it looks like it's history repeating itself? There's still a 5-point gap, but...
Yeah, I mean, very much so. The Spurs have got previous.
Yeah, and Chelsea, we'll talk about them a little bit later, but they're finding a bit of form. They're not wholly convincing, but they're winning football matches and getting points on the board. Now, that's a concern for Spurs. I mean, if the almost unthinkable happens and they do drop out of the top four and they're trophyless, then that's it could be a very interesting and tense summer over at Tottenham.
Well, I think the interesting thing, there was a quote that I can't remember verbatim what it was, but Pochettino pretty much, again, sort of being a very sort of looking at the overall situation, saying how Spurs would move forward with or without him. And that was just the interesting element to it, whether he's wondering that himself. And obviously, the first thing Daniel Levy's got to do in the summer is whatever you want, Poch. You know, if you're unsure about this, what do we need to do to convince you to stay?
Start paying our world-class players world-class wages.
Exactly.
Well, this is what I was going to ask next. I mean, regardless of how this season pans out, and they should finish in the top four and get Champions League football, they've got to, I mean, if they're serious about staying there and really pushing on to competing for league titles, they've got to spend some money, haven't they?
Yeah.
Particularly on wages.
Yeah, and I think that's the crux of the matter. I think, you know, Tottenham are one of several clubs that for the past 8 or 9 years have turned a profit. You know, I'm not advocating going to the red, but yeah, no, I think this is definitely the last season where Daniel Levy will get away with not paying them kind of wages. You know, it's a World Cup year. You know, Harry Kane, Christian Eriksen, Jan Vertonghen, you know, these players are very much in the shop window now. You know, it looks like Toby Alderweireld will be off if they can't resolve his contract situation. And I don't think it can be overestimated what a great player he is. You know, whether there's a personal issue there with Pochettino as well. I mean, to lose him would be losing, for me, the best defender in Europe. And whether that's down to them not paying the going rate for said best defenders on the planet, then that will come back to bite them, I feel. I think Davinson Sanchez had a really, really strong season, first season in the Premier League. A little bit surprised he didn't make it on the PFA shortlist for the young player. But, you know, it's a sign of the times. And it's you look down the years at the players that Spurs have lost, not necessarily just down to the wages, but, I mean, Luka Modric, Gareth Bale, all these types of players are not only going to be thinking about their potential at Spurs and can it be fulfilled somewhere else, but they're going to be looking at their bank balance. They're human beings. You know, you want a healthy bank balance. Harry Kane is no different to you or I in that regard. And if he's, you know, looking around the Premier League and other leagues and thinking, yeah, I'm just not in the same bracket here, of course he's going to look elsewhere. Show me a human being that wouldn't.
Yeah, that makes sense. Graham?
Agree completely. As I said, if Harry Kane has an amazing World Cup this summer, say he scores Gary Lineker did for England in Mexico 86, scores 5 or 6 goals in a reasonable run for the tournament, that is going to make more speculation about Real Madrid and Barcelona. And if they come knocking, as Steve said, Harry's only human, and like you've only got one career. And the danger for Tottenham is next season, like realistically, the way the season's going, like you're not going to win the league next season because Manchester City look absolutely astonishing at the top, and it's going to be a case of top four football's fine if there's something else to go with it. And like that's where Mourinho's skill set comes in, and that if he's not going to win the league, he does win other silverware to keep things coming over. And personally, I think like Tottenham being one of the best sides to watch as a neutral for the last 3 years, they've played some terrific stuff. And what I like about them is they can play tough as well. Like there's times when they've absolutely pulled teams apart and it's been majestic to watch, but I remember watching him in December at Vicarage Road at Watford, and they had Davinson Sanchez sent off, and they locked up the shop completely. And like, you never really thought they were ever really concede in that game. And that's a skill set a lot of teams don't have sometimes. Like, it's difficult when you're away from home, you're down to 10 men and so on. But Pochettino managed that game beautifully, and you just feel like he's just missing that little bit of fresh blood. But it's a very, 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 very big summer for them.
Yeah, I think there's upgrades in the team as well. I think I've been very concerned with Hugo Lloris's form over the last season and a half. I wonder if a player like Danny Rose is maybe going to be angling for a move, having lost his place to Ben Davies. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there is a little bit of movement from Spurs in the summer.
There'll be plenty of movement at Chelsea, it looks like, doesn't it? Let's just quickly talk about them. Their manager looks to be going, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And we've talked about this throughout the season, haven't we? It started before the season. It's kind of all filtered down from his unhappiness with the board about whatever reason, whether it's players sold without his consent or players signed without his consent. Obviously, the Diego Costa situation was so badly handled. I mean, that situation will hopefully never crop up again. But, I mean, he couldn't have handled that one any worse. And it's all kind of filtered around Conte and his bad mood. But as you rightly said, they really seem to be finishing with a flourish. I mean, winning on the road at Burnley is no small, no small feat. Booked their FA Cup final place. Again, you know, they could have won it last season as well, could have won the League and Cup double. If Conte is to go, winning the FA Cup would be a great passing gift, if that is to be the case for Chelsea fans. Would also be a nice platform for the new manager coming in as well. But yeah, I mean, the speculation has been so rife all throughout the season. I can't see it suddenly changing in the summer.
No.
No, I agree completely. It almost feels like, particularly a lot of the comments come on, that's ABC, anyone but Conte, in terms of where the problems are.
Yeah.
And some of it is man management. As we mentioned Diego Costa before, but obviously players' form has fallen away during seeing Morata and so on. I don't think him being as negative as he has been has helped in that regard. And maybe behind the scenes he has chilled out. Now he can see light at the end of the tunnel. I think an FA Cup would definitely sort of underline the fact that, you know, it has been a good reign overall, because, you know, you won the title with... And you don't win 30 games in the Premier League season without doing something right, and very right. Obviously, there's a good chance Man City are going to break that record immediately. But he still did some great stuff with them last season. It'll be interesting where he goes next from this in the summer. But it's also crucial where Chelsea go next from this, because we're seeing City of strength. Like Liverpool, obviously the jury's out on whether they can sustain. We've seen a lot of times that Liverpool have improved, but then it's what they do next. But I've got no doubt Manchester United, Mourinho will be strong again next season. So if Chelsea want to compete with that, they need to get the managerial appointment right in the summer and do some very good transfer business.
I think so, yeah. If you look at the other teams that they expect to be competing against at the top of the table, Guardiola at City, Mourinho, for all his critics and faults, is still a very capable top manager at a big club. Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. Chelsea needs someone of that kind of ilk. If Conte is to leave, we're talking about him as if he's already left. I mean,
no,
he does look like he is leaving. But
well, that's what we do here. We speculate.
That's it. Yeah.
But who would you see being a good fit for Chelsea?
Run out of ideas. Just they've sacked them all. I don't know. I really don't know.
Maybe start again from the beginning again. Yeah. So we'll see what Scolari's up to.
Get Avram Grant back.
But I mean, like you look at the situation. I know you mentioned him earlier, Max Allegri at Juve. They obviously lost to Napoli at the weekend. So what is the gap down to 1 point there? If Juve don't win a 6th or 7th or 700th straight Scudetto, I forget how many it is now. You know, I wonder if he looks at, you know, Pasqua's new. Wonder if he might be a good fit. You know, seems to be a very different character to Conte. Not quite as intense, maybe. Not that I know him. I'm only going on to, you know, what we see on their TV screens. But wonder if that might be the change of approach that the club feel the squad needs.
Yeah, should be interesting. Right, chaps, that's all we've got time for this week. Thanks for your insight and plenty of speculation this week, wasn't there?
You're welcome, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much.
No, thank you, John.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts and on the National website at thenational.ae/sport. Thanks for listening.